Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church.
Good morning.
Good morning. I hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas day with their family and friends, worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And where else would you want to be on this morning? A beautiful, warm chapel, hearing the Word of God, being with fellow brothers and sisters. Amen. Okay. In a couple of days, we will be celebrating the beginning of a new year. And many of us will be setting into place New Year's resolutions. But I'd like us to think about setting those resolutions in the light of what the Lord would have you do. Something that would be pleasing to Him and not a chasing after the wind. So this morning we will be in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we will be hearing from the life of Solomon, a man that had it all. He was the wealthiest and wisest man in the history of the world. He takes a hard look at human life, which he participates in. Solomon was the son of King David, and he takes over the throne of his father, King David, after his father's death. But before King David's death, he gives his son Solomon a charge. And in 1 Kings 2, 1 through 3, it states, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." And there's one word I want us to really keep in mind, and that is obedience. I believe obedience is a key word that we want to remain in our mind this morning during this sermon. So, after King David's death, Solomon becomes king, and he requests wisdom and an understanding heart from the Lord. So let us read from 1 Kings 3, 9 through 14. "Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Solomon is now king over Israel and has acquired from the Lord both wisdom and understanding. But there are two things that he also receives, riches and honor, which he did not ask for. And I think it is very important that we know this about King Solomon. We'll get a really good understanding of what he's saying in this message, in understanding this. So let us read this morning's sermon text from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3. "What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" But let us begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" Solomon writes Again, he writes, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. In the NIV, which I looked at for a minute, it states, meaningless, meaningless. Which I think that's probably one of the few things they got right. But vanity means emptiness, a vapor, a breath. And Solomon writes not only in this text, but the whole theme of the book is vanity. And Solomon never loses sight of this. And in all he searched and found was vanity. This under the sun. Nothing brought true contentment to him. A man that had it all. He writes, what profit has a man of all his labor? It seems here that he's saying all he gets by it, will it supply all the wants of the soul? Will it satisfy its desires? It won't atone for the sins of the soul, nor hinder the loss of it. Ask yourself, what profit will the wealth of the world be to the soul in death, in judgment, or in the everlasting state? If we had all of the things, if we had everything we wanted, right? Can they provide what they promise? Can they? Let us go on to read chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south, and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually, and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. He's saying all things change. His soul will find no rest if it has it not from the Lord. Man's labor, after all he has done, finds no rest. The senses are soon tired, yet man still craves more and more, and he wants what is untried. The eyes want to see more, and the ears want to hear more. You get this feeling, this is discontent. He's not content with everything that he has. Let us go on to read Ecclesiastes 1, 9 through 11. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. So he's saying men's hearts and their corruptions are the same. Now as in former times, their desires and pursuits and complaints still the same. He goes on to write in Ecclesiastes 1, 12 through 18, the preacher was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man, by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight. And what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Solomon tried all things, and he found them vanity. empty. He found his searches after knowledge weariness, not only to the flesh, but to the mind. The more he saw of the works done under the sun, the more he saw their vanity, and the sight often vexed his spirit, meaning frustrated. He could neither gain that satisfaction to himself nor do that good to others, which he expected. Even the pursuit of knowledge and wisdom discovered man's wickedness and misery, so that the more he knew, the more he mourned and lamented. So let us learn to hate and fear sin, brothers and sisters, the cause of all this vanity and misery. To value Jesus Christ, to seek rest in the knowledge, love, and service of the Savior Jesus. So at this point in the book of Ecclesiastes, the argument is not flowing smoothly. Solomon continues to write about vanity. And he says in chapter 7, verse 15, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. I mean, it's the whole theme of the book. And he talks so much of living under the sun. So many times he repeats this. I mean, I lost count. And basically he's saying a life without God is empty. God not being at the center of one's life and activities and work is empty. Solomon is crying out a warning to us in the book of Ecclesiastes. He's saying, don't go where I went. Learn from my failings. One of the greatest sayings my wife's grandfather would say was, mind your failings. I say, mind your failings and don't repeat your failings. Solomon's father, King David, warned him. He warns him in 1 Chronicles 28:9. As for you, my son, Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Solomon forsook the Lord. He allowed foreign gods in. He became disobedient and didn't remain obedient. Allowing this in caused much, much misery and frustration. Toward the end of Ecclesiastes, you get the sense here that his mood has changed in the writing. And Solomon writes about wisdom being superior to folly in chapter 9. In chapter 11, the value of diligence, he writes, and then seeking God in early life. I thought much of that for our young people today, and how they need to get rooted in the Lord, his commandments and his statutes, and how in doing that they wouldn't get frustrated and vexed by what the world is showing them and trying to get into them by putting God first in obeying him and living by his statutes and commandments. Their lives would be fulfilled. Solomon is now writing about life above the sun, living in fellowship with God, under the authority of God. That's a fulfilling life, and it is a blessing to the Lord. And then Solomon concludes his message with the whole duty of man in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. He writes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. But brothers and sisters, how can we avoid being trapped or drawn in by temptation like what happened to Solomon? God's word tells us of another trap that can capture us unexpectedly. And the Apostle Paul warned his protege Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. But I wanted to talk about something that I came across that I thought was fascinating. And it is fascinating because it's from the Lord. It's his creation. It's awesome. I want to talk about the Venus flytrap for a minute. The Venus flytrap releases a sweet smelling nectar. And it does that in colorful traps that resemble flowers, open flowers. And when an insect crawls into that by being attracted by that sweet smelling nectar, right? It triggers these senses around the rim, the outer rim of that flower. And when it gets in, the trap clamps shut. That flower closes and clamps shut. And it's in less than a second, capturing its victim. So I was thinking that, is there a sweet-smelling aroma or a temptation that has been an attraction, a desire, something that is trying to pull you in? Again, the Apostle Paul warned his protege Timothy. He says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So we see here, Paul writes to me warning him. We see that King David warned his son Solomon, but he failed to do that. Money and material things may promise happiness, but do they really provide what they promise? And when we put those things first place in our lives, we're walking on dangerous ground. But we can avoid this trap by living our lives in obedience to the Lord. In that, you receive direction and discernment to know what way to go. Solomon said in his conclusion, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Give your all to him today. Living with thankful, humble hearts, focused on God's goodness to us through Jesus. In 1 Timothy 6:6, it states, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment, great gain. The temporary things of this world never satisfy like God can. True lasting contentment is found only through our relationship with the Lord our God. Friends, those who are living above the sun, who are in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, experience true contentment and know their purpose for living and their ultimate destination. Are you living your life under the sun or above the sun? Brothers and sisters, there is a better way to live. When the longings in our hearts threaten to send us on a desperate, futile quest for satisfaction. And we heard what Solomon said. We can remember this, to turn to the Lord for refuge, reminding ourselves that apart from God, we have nothing. So my friends, remain obedient and keep your focus on the Lord. In this new year, set those resolutions above the sun, in the light of Christ, in fellowship with him, to honor him and to please him. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, loving Lord Jesus, you are the greatest blessing to us. Help us to live our lives in obedience to you, Lord, that we don't lose focus. There will be challenging times, temptations. Life can be tough and uncertain at times, Lord. But may our faith remain strong and be anchored in you, the source of salvation and strength and stability. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your word as a lamp unto our feet. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.